Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Fan Experience TV. We are on episode 53. Thank you again for joining us. For those of you joining us for the first time, I am your host, Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, how are we doing tonight?
Doing well, Mike. Getting out of this 2 feet of snow we had for the last couple of days, excited about what's going on in the world of sports with all these trades and all getting ready for Super Bowl 55. So it's a good night, and let's get to it.
Yep. Super Bowl week, press week, this time next year.
Being so SoFi, yes.
Los Angeles, not in 2 feet of snow.
Palm trees.
For press week next week, next year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's great. Sammy, thank you for coming on, and thank you for watching. Sammy. We're looking forward to coming on your show on Saturday.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, I mean, before we bring on our guests, obviously want to touch on some of the big news around sports. Honorable mention. I know it's not sports related, but rest in peace, Dustin Diamond.
Yes.
Screech, obviously, we grew up watching him Saturday mornings on
11 o'clock
by the bell. And, it's sad. I mean, obviously it was something that just like 3 weeks. I mean, got cancer and it just like, really quick. So rest in peace to Dustin Diamond. I remember, seeing him doing stand up for like I think it was like a prom or something. I went as somebody's date. I think it was like a prom or like a junior banquet or something like that. But it was at like a comedy store, and and Dustin Diamond was there. But rest in peace to him. But let's get to some sports. So I know it's football and Super Bowl, but can't help to mention the news surrounding Mickey Callaway, the Angels. Pitching coach and ex-Mets manager, ex-Indians pitching coach, accused of, a few counts of lewd conduct and, sending inappropriate text messages, inappropriate conduct, which included sticking his crotch in a reporter's face.
Yeah, that's
pretty disgusting. I mean, Jared Porter a couple weeks ago, the reports come out, that now it's this. Like, yes, they both ended up becoming Mets and part of the Mets front office and everything. But like, what do you do to try to figure out how to screen these candidates a lot better? Because obviously these reports are just coming out. People are just coming forward with them. But there has to be some kind of, maybe if they have to implement, yearly, audit screenings with reporters, be like, listen, tell us, has anything, especially with the females, working with male athletes and male managers and front office staff, to ask them, how's everything going? I know you've been following the team for a while, all these beat writers or whatever. And, just ask them if there was anything that they want to report. I know that there's sexual harassment guidelines in place everywhere, but so some of these women do not want to come forward, because they're scared, they think it's going to affect their career or whatever. And that thought process needs to go out the window, because if anyone is going to be penalized for coming forward with such information, that is where it starts, all this stuff is going haywire right off the bat. So, but it's really disgusting to see, this happening in and around. And, it's not just baseball. Obviously you got Antonio Brown gotten accused, and he still hasn't even gotten to court yet. Just hopefully there's going to be a lot more stricter guidelines in place to limit this in the future.
Yeah, when I read this story, I was like, wow. I mean, the stuff that he did while he was manager here, like the stuff that he got away with. And, listen, you can understand why women don't want to come forward. They don't want to get embarrassed. They don't want to put their careers out there. They don't want to, you know, have their names out there, and it just, you know, the stigma around it. But I have to applaud the women who came forward, and, you know, there's five of them who told the story, and honestly, of course. But here's the thing. Why aren't these guys being vetted like the vet players? You know, NFL draft, Major League Baseball draft, NBA. When these kids get drafted, man, they go through rigorous, and I mean rigorous processes, right? You know, guys fall in the draft because of their background checks and all, like, all that stuff, right? So why can't an executive be checked out that way? Why? And, the, you know, this notion that, well, Sandy didn't know or he should have known. I mean, in the story, it said it was the worst kept secret. Like, you, people talk. You're not going to tell me that somebody didn't know? Like, you have to be held accountable for that as well. You can't just, you know, if it's even a whisper, like, you gotta find these things out. And, you know, it's just deplorable. You know, his behavior is deplorable. But I, you know, and here's the other thing. It's a good, you know, what's that? The good old boys club. It's a boys, obviously baseball is a boys club or whatever. And the world is changing, you know, with Kim Ng being signed by the Marlins, the world is changing. But these guys, the behavior, I'm guaranteeing you right now, Mike, he's not the only one. There's others out there in baseball who've done that. Obviously, Jared Porter is another guy. There's others out there, and people aren't talking about that. But the behavior has to stop. And how do you stop it? Moving forward, not just Sandy Alderson, but I think Major League Baseball, they need to treat these executives and these people that you're going to hire in higher positions to rigorous scrutiny. I mean, look, if you get a job in like the financial services industry, they do background checks. You know, there's, you know, you do all this stuff. If you try to go for a government job, they do all these background checks. And it seems like in professional sports, these executives, they don't do that. Treat them like the athletes. Treat them like these young kids that are coming into the draft. How many stories have we heard of guys who have been drafted, right, that they get these uncomfortable questions? Remember when Jameis Winston came out and he was asked about like a shoplifting thing or whatever, or all these guys that, like, you know, they ask him these most uncomfortable questions. I mean, force these executives to be put through this rigorous test. And the second thing is they need to start opening up these jobs to women. Like, we need women in positions of power that won't put up with this stuff, that will nip it in the bud, and this won't happen. You know, we cannot let this happen moving forward. So I think, you know, people were saying today, well, like, how is it Sandy's fault? He didn't know. Dude, you're doing the hiring. Like, even if you have a whisper, if there's like, you have, like, find out, figure it out, bro. And this is,
yeah, but it went through three teams. So it can't just be all on Sandy.
Right. You know, so it's on
three teams.
And it's on the culture of baseball and the executives. And Rob Manfred needs to step in and start really seriously looking at these hires, background checks. The organizations need to do that. But, you know, this is like the one where, you know, how would you like to be a female reporter interviewing a guy and the guy just shoves his crotch in her face? Like, how disgusting is that, dude? I mean, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, where are your manners? Like, your civility? Like, how are you raised? So I think that's bad.
Well, past manners. I mean,
yeah, that's just the psycho is what the guy is. You know?
Yeah, but, exactly.
You know, the Mets and Major League Baseball. And he was suspended by the Angels, right? Fire.
Yeah. And Angels, MLB. But, you know, he unequivocally denies all these charges, and you know he's married with two kids. It's like, I definitely wouldn't do something like that. I didn't do something
dude,
like
that. Dude,
what
are you doing?
But, you know, I mean, it's just
you know, and you know what, the second part about this,
of course, like, with the accusations. But Jared Porter did,
yeah, like, and
did man up and actually say that he did it. Yeah, but that doesn't make anything any better.
Right. And what I hope doesn't happen is a couple of years later, it's forgiven, swept under the rug, and gets hired for like whatever. Like, you know, we give people second opportunities in society. But geez, I mean, this is sick. And Rob Manfred should step up and be like, send an edict down to all the teams. Start doing background checks on all your senior executives and your coaching staffs, because this stuff cannot go on.
No, absolutely. This has to be stopped immediately. And, you know, I mean, if they're going to sign off on millions of dollars in a contract,
right?
You know, if you're gonna make a financial investment of that caliber, why not spend a couple extra bucks to really vet somebody? You know,
I mean,
look, you have, you know, service agencies like, you know, the police, you know, obviously you've got you know, the military. I'm sure they did a background check on you.
Yeah, they do it. They do a background check on anybody who enlists. And that's an excellent point. When you enlist in the military, you get a background check. Like, when you become a police officer, you get a background check. I mean, you know, that this needs to change. Like, and they need to change it fast.
Bear with us. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
All right. No, but I was saying, you know, they must have done a background check for you when you were when you were going to serve, right?
Yeah, they did. When you enlist, they do a background check on you and everything. I mean, they do all that stuff.
Yeah, and that's for paying peanuts. You know, the military obviously gets paid peanuts. And then you got managers and stuff getting paid millions and millions.
Millions of dollars, dude. Millions of dollars. And you have to applaud the women that came forward. Give them credit, man. They, you know, they're anonymous. They're putting themselves out there. They're, you know, because they realize that this guy's a psycho, dude, is what he is. He's a nut.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, hopefully things can change and, you know, we can, you know, try to go into this next generation of really humanity. It's not sports, it's just humanity. It's on a humanity level now.
You know what else? Like, they have the Rooney rule in football. They should have a rule like that in baseball, where now teams should be hired, not only minorities but women should be considered for executive jobs, and they should force that and implement that in baseball.
No, absolutely. All right, so let's not keep our guests waiting too much longer. We will definitely you know, cover some news and notes after the interview as well. So now joining us, he is the host of Iggy Sports Talk.
All right.
Joining us now is Jake Iggy. Jake, how we doing?
How we doing, guys?
What's up, Jake? How you doing?
How about you guys? Absolutely. Oh, we're doing great. You know, obviously, you know, like Rick mentioned, you know, we're in a couple feet of snow over here and it's snowing again, but I'm sure up there in Massachusetts, you're in Massachusetts or,
I go to college in Northern New Hampshire. So, we got a good amount of snow.
I'm sure you're
no more snow days anymore. No more snow days anymore. Now we can go on Zoom. They're like, no, you can't go to the mountain. You can't go. You can't have a day off. Go back. Go on Zoom. We'll have class. Yeah.
Well, I see you came prepared with your very Boston type, you know, studio over there.
This is my college room.
Yeah, that's. I love it. It's great. Yeah, wonderful.
even when I went into my college dorm, I had to figure out a place where I'd be able to set something up for like podcasts and that sort of stuff, because up here in college I usually record my podcast at the radio station and broadcast it over the radio, but you know there's times where, you know, that might not line up with people's schedules, so sometimes when I have to do it at my house, this is usually where I do it.
Awesome. I mean, it's a great setup. So, you know, let's go back to the beginning. Like, where did your I know that, you know, your parents weren't big into sports, so where did you get introduced to sports, and, you know, how did you grow a love for, you know, for the games of, you know, baseball, football, what have you, and who was that first team or that first moment that really got you hooked?
So like you said, my parents were never really into sports. You know, they never really played sports growing up, and it's funny because multiple times, like, when people ask, they're like, oh, how did Jake get introduced into sports? They're like, well, we didn't teach him. And so I was really close with my aunt and uncle and my cousins. And, you know, they were really into Tom Brady and the Patriots. And, you know, I was born in 99. So that's right when really the whole dynasty and I guess the whole title town really name sort of started gleaming in Boston. But it was something where, you know, I looked up to Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz, and I just got hooked sort of on baseball and the Red Sox. I remember my parents signed me up for T-ball. And in my backyard, I sort of set up like a baseball field. I'm an only child, so, you know, I just sort of make my own things up to pass the time. And so there's a lot of times where I'd be throwing the pitches up and hitting the ball. And, you know, I had a little fence. I had a little rock wall in my backyard that I used as my fence. And, you know, I would sort of emulate David Ortiz, these different sort of stances, and sort of act like I was actually in the game. And, you know, I would do that for hours. And then, you know, there was times where I would try to convince my mom to go out and play wiffle ball with me. And I'd be like, you know, I'll hit lefty. Like, if you'll come out and play with me, like, don't worry. Like, I can't swing lefty that well. And she's like, all right, I'll go out with you. But so that's how I really got into it. And, you know, I don't know really when my Red Sox fandom really started to grow. But a lot of people consider me, as you can see behind me, I just love the team. Kind of emulating off of the Jimmy Fallon character in Fever Pitch. Because anytime the team's on, you know, I gleam up anytime they lose. You know, I'm yelling at the TV. And it's something where when I go to Fenway Park, it's just amazing there.
Oh yeah, it's definitely electrifying over there, and it's just, you know, you just feel the history the second you walk into the place. I've only been there once, but you know, it was great. So you know, I mean, it's very interesting, you know, that the fact that well, obviously you had your cousins and stuff, but growing up in a household where your parents didn't really watch sports, and in that time where you were born in 99, and that was like the, you know, the start of this, like, you know, smartphone, you know, generation, and you know, all these new technologies just coming in, because by the time you were like five, like, you know, the iPhone was, you know, pretty much out, five or six. So 100%. And you know, it's easy to get lost in a world like that when you're a kid, when you don't have that, you know, that sports, you know, that family sports background. So to right. adopt it on your own, and to want to be out there and want to be practicing, you know, as an only child and by yourself, you know, I definitely, you know, that's great. You know, I mean, I love it. I did it, but I was born a decade and a half before you, and I didn't have any, I didn't have any other choice at that point. But you know, that's, it's awesome. So you also looked up to, Bryce Harper, you said, right? Cause he was, you know, that was right around the time that he was, you know, playing very well in high school and in college. So talk to us about that. Like, when did you first see Bryce Harper?
So I remember Illustrated cover, and it was this 17, 18-year-old kid that just dropped out of junior year of college and was number one pick. And I remember I looked through that article so many times. And I just looked up to him so much. I was never a kid that really had, you know, God-given talent to play baseball. And so there's a lot of times, you know, and this kind of goes into I work so hard on just my craft of talking about sports and sports journalism is from really me having to work hard to be baseball. You know, I didn't make my middle school team both years that I had the opportunity to, because I was told I was too small. And so when Dustin Pedroia retired 2 days ago, I was really upset because, you know, he was the guy that, like, I really looked up to really be able to get sort of give myself a chance that he could do it. But with Bryce, I mean, it was something where I just looked up to him as, this kid is so young and he's just a few years older than me. Like, I wish so bad I was in his position. And I remember he was in AA, and he played for the Harrisburg Senators. And just 20 minutes from my house is the New Hampshire Fish Cats, which is the AA affiliate for the Blue Jays. So I've gotten to see Vladdy, Bo, all those guys come up through the system. Nice. But I remember he came by, and I just put my hand out. He was the only reason I was there. I go, Bryce, can I get a high five? And I remember he hurt his, he was injured. So he wasn't even playing the games because he like hurt his shoulder. And I remember like earlier in the pregame, I asked him for an autograph, because at that time his autograph was worth like $500. And he actually gave me a high five, and I never forget it. And I actually had the opportunity just a year ago, my dad and I went on a trip where we went from our house in New Hampshire down to New York, Philadelphia, down to Washington, and we did four stadiums in 4 days. And so I got the opportunity to see Bryce actually play in Philly. And I remember during the day, like leading up to that game, it was supposed to rain. And I was looking at the weather all throughout the day, like, just please have those percentages go down just a tiny bit. I'm like, the only reason I am in Philadelphia, I don't care about the Liberty Bell, I don't care about the history, even though I love history. I'm like, I just want to see Bryce Harper. That's all I care about. And, you know, it started to sprinkle the game, but, you know, they got the game through. I got to see Bryce. He did the whole, like, bow in right field. Got goosebumps. Just, like, the swagger that he plays with. And even when he like came up, you know, I remember during his debut, he like slid into second base and like hit his helmet off. I just love that stuff as like a baseball fan. And I always used to sort of emulate it, sort of like I told you guys in my backyard, I would always act like I was doing that kind of sort of, you know, he was definitely a big role model for me.
Awesome. Well, that's incredible. That's an incredible story, Iggy. And again, thank you for coming on. Our friend Kevin Larney, Kevin, tuning in tonight from Wild Chat Sports.
Okay. Kevin actually gave the opportunity to say hi to Floyd Mayweather. We actually worked together over the summer for a collegiate baseball team. And I remember it was the day before. Yeah, day before he got a Yahoo story written about him. I walked in, I go, and then he told me that he was interviewing Floyd. I'm like, wow, how are 2 days for you, man? Like, this is crazy. And then he like said, my friend Jake is here with me. I went, what's up, Floyd? And he goes, what's up, family? I'm like, holy crap, Floyd Mayweather just said hi to me. How's it going? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, man, Kevin's a good leader, awesome. Man. He's landing those big athletes. But I want to ask you. So you're a young guy, 19 years old, Boston guy. I mean, in your lifetime, you've experienced 10 Super Bowls. You know, a bunch of like what, 4 or 5 World Series appearances. The Bruins winning a couple of a cup. The Celtics winning a championship. I mean, you've experienced more championships than most people ever going to experience in a lifetime. What has that been like for you? Like, what? I mean, can you explain that to somebody who, like me or Mike, have only had a certain amount of championships?
Well, No. Don't say me or Mike, okay?
Okay. Mike, who hasn't said that.
You've got your fair share.
Yeah,
you're damn near 60. You've seen 30.
But what's that been like growing up in that sort of that sort of aura of championships for you?
Listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to be brutally honest. It's made me very cocky as a sports fan. It's something where, like, when we get into the playoff, or even when the Patriots season starts, like especially before this last season with Brady, it was like you don't think that we're going to make it to the AFC Championship. Do you not understand that this is a yearly holiday in New England that we watch the AFC Championship, and especially with the Sox too, you know, because the Sox are so good at going worst to first. So, like, anytime the Sox were awful, even this year, Sox are winning the World Series this year. I don't know if you got the memo, but, like, they like to be the worst team in the MLB and then figure out a way to win the World Series. It hurts me as a fan because, you know, I get so confident and then my heart gets crushed. But, you know, when there's a parade and there's a trophy, you know, every sort of 2 years, you kind of get used to it to a point. And it's fun, and I got to be honest with you. And it's funny because I said this on a podcast with a Lions fan, and he got very upset with me. And I said, you know, during the last Patriots game, when they won, I was kind of used to it. It was such an anticlimactic sort of game with the Rams. I was like, we just won the Super Bowl. Wow, this yay! Like it wasn't sort of, oh my God, like Malcolm Butler. The Malcolm Butler, forget about it. Super Bowl 51. I almost jumped out my window. That's the greatest game I've ever seen in my entire life. No, the Rams and Patriots game, like even at my college, there was like a riot afterwards. And, you know, everybody was just kind of used to it. And it stinks. It stinks saying it like that. And I'm not taking it for granted whatsoever. You know, the 6 Super Bowls and going to the parade was amazing, unreal experience. But, you know, it's given me a lot of really cool experiences. Like I just talked about Super Bowl 51 and Malcolm Butler. I'll never forget where I was during then. But especially the Red Sox ones. I still remember the 2007 World Series when I always used to the Jonathan Papelbon and how he looked stared down, and he would do this sort of thing, and then how he did the dance after Boston. God, I really miss the personalities on the Red Sox. I really do like the Poppies, the Euclid, the Barrett, all those guys. They're bringing them back, luckily, with Verdugo and that sort of stuff. And Bogey's guys, Jagger. But, you know, I've been very lucky as a sports fan. I don't take it for granted for a second.
Yeah. And what's the atmosphere now as Super Bowl 55 approaches us? What do the people feel there about Brady? Are they rooting for him? Are they hoping he loses? I mean, what's the sentiment out there in Boston regarding Tom Brady?
So, you know, a lot of people are much different than I am. A lot of people didn't really take the breakup too harshly. I'm still okay. Getting over it. I'm still, isn't there like,
you gotta let it go, man,
or whatever. I'm probably in number six. Okay. I don't know. It's just something where anytime I see him out there on the field, I just hate seeing him in those colors. And anytime anybody talks to me about it, I'm like, yeah, I'm really happy that he's in the Super Bowl, but I wish he was in red, white, and blue. You know, that's just me. You know, it's something where I obviously all the greats have gone on to other teams. It was just very tough for me waking up, seeing a Twitter statement. And that's how I said goodbye to the 20 year sort of relationship that I had with this quarterback that won me six Super Bowls. Just very tough for me, but for everybody else is rooting for Brady. You know, I see people all the time wearing Buccaneers jerseys and I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. I see some people with Patriots sweatshirts and Buccaneers hats and I'm like, pick a team, figure it out. Did we pause?
No, we're good.
At first I thought my internet was out.
No, we're good. Go ahead, Mike.
Perfect. But yeah, it's something where a lot of people are already over it. I'm still getting over it. Probably take another season for me. But especially with Gronk, I don't know. It was very tough for me to say goodbye to Gronk, especially the way he did it. I remember my phone was on airplane mode, and then it went back on. I got service and I got a notification. Gronkowski gets traded to the Buccaneers. I'm like, are you serious right now? And I've tried to explain it to some people. I remember I talked to a Steelers fan about it. I'm like, think about if Roethlisberger went to another team and Hines Ward randomly came out of retirement and joined him with that other team. How would you feel? And he goes, you know, man, he's like, that would be really tough. But I mean, I'm super happy that he's in the Super Bowl again. I'm surprised that he's in it again, quite honestly, with his performance against Aaron Rodgers. Would have been interesting to see if the Packers went for that field or didn't go for that field goal and Matt LaFleur actually thought about the play and didn't just go with his gut at the most critical play of the Packers season in 2020. But it's something where I honestly think that Patrick Mahomes is winning it. I don't think Patrick, there's not a lot of times where Patrick Mahomes lets people just beat him. He always finds a way to come back.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you. I mean, I see the Chiefs winning this one, and Rick was telling me that Tyreek Hill said that he wants to race Scotty Miller at halftime because there was a lot of talk about Scotty Miller being the fastest wide receiver in the NFL. Like, I can't believe he would he'd go out there and say that, but you know, let's see how that one plays out. I don't know. I mean, that's,
let's take it easy with that. Julian Edelman
he's the Wes Welker 0.25.
Brady loves his white little receivers that he can just throw little slants to, and then they'll just find a way to get cut through the defenders and get a touchdown.
Yeah, and obviously just exploit a cornerback that just fell asleep and just didn't expect anything like that to happen. But that was brutal. I cannot believe he just like let him just run right past him. I mean, he gave him a 15-yard cushion. Like, you can't. Couldn't catch up after the 15-yard cushion. But, you know, it is what it is.
The number one thing that is frustrating me throughout this entire week of Super Bowl coverage, they're not talking about the Chiefs. They're not talking about the Bucks. They just keep on bringing up Bill Belichick week after week. All I have to hear about is who was the mastermind after under the 20 years? Was it Bill or was it Brady? Did Brady make the Patriot way or was it Bill? Listen, it was both of them. It was a collaborative effort. And it frustrates me so much because the Patriots had the worst circumstances to start the season. For the first time in 20 years, they didn't have their star quarterback. They had to start a whole new system with a scrambling quarterback in Cam Newton. They lost 8 guys due to COVID, more than any other team in the NFL. If you looked at the win percentage for the Patriots at the start of the season, they had the toughest schedule out of any other team. They had the most free agency losses out of any other team. Brady, on the other hand, Antonio Brown, he was a Pro Bowler, what, 2 years ago? Fournette, he was a Pro Bowler, what, 2 years ago? Gronk, I mean, he's still got some juice. Evans, what, is he a top 10 wide receiver in the league? Godwin, what, is he a top 15 wide receiver in the league? It's just something where when you put a Pro Bowl team offense and you try and compare it to a team that literally got almost everything stripped away from them, like it just frustrates the hell out of me as a Patriots fan.
Tell them.
Yeah, just let it out, man.
I've been holding that in. Been holding it. It frustrates me so much.
So, you know, I could definitely, you know, see how it's a little tough because, you know, you've known Brady as a Patriot since you've been a baby. I mean, you know, let's just be real. Yeah. So that it's definitely tough. So, you know, talk to us a little bit about, yeah, like, obviously you went, you know, you tried to play and, you know, you were too small. You didn't have that, you know, that, you know, that something that it's going to bring you, propel you forward. So you wanted to go into sports in some shape or form. When did that, you know, when did that idea come into your head? And what were your first steps on making that happen?
Yeah. So I went into college, not really having any sort of general direction. Where I was very into business, very into communications. You know, I've always been very interested in marketing and advertising in some way, but it took till my junior year to really sort of think about exactly where I wanted to go. I was a very open-minded person. You know, I started a marketing or a communications minor. I started a professional sales certificate. You know, I wanted to really figure out and touch all different areas of the business departments. And then when I was really starting to think about really what I wanted to do for an internship going into my junior year, I went to my advisor and I really couldn't think of anything. You know, I was saying, you know, I've worked at Dunkin' Donuts for the last 5 years. I'm good at communicating with people. You know, I'm really into marketing, you know, business in some part, but it was so just wide open. And then my advisor goes, well, what do you like to talk about? What are you passionate about? Well, I love to talk about sports. And I said, you know, at Dunkin' Donuts, when somebody has like a Raiders hat, I go, oh, what do you think about John Gruden? Oh, do you think that they should keep Derek Carr or do you want them to get somebody else? Or when Josh Allen first got drafted, oh, do you think Josh Allen's going to start or is it Nathan Peterman? And I would always find a way to bring up sports in some way, shape, or form really throughout my life. And it was something where anytime I talk about sports, as you even heard me with the Brady versus Belichick thing, I get very passionate about it. I get very fiery about it at times. It's certain topics that I'm passionate about. And it was something where I've always been very interested in working in sports. You know, I watched Don Arcillo. I was very interested in doing play-by-play at some time. And I was always told, you know, it was too competitive or you wouldn't be able to make enough money or it'd be very difficult to be able to, you know, get to the top and, you know, take a lot of years of experience. And I heard that same doubt during baseball as well. Like I said before, I didn't make my middle school team the first 2 years. I didn't even make varsity during my freshman year and was actually on the bench throughout my entire freshman year of high school. And then worked my butt off and trained in the off season, worked really hard. The next 2 years after that, I really tried to show the coaches and had the opportunity to be the offensive player of the year 2 years in a row. And so, you know, I'm very used to people doubting me. I'm very used to people telling me that I'm not able to do things. And it was something where I went in. My advisor said something very similar. You know, you might not graduate on time. Do you realize that you're switching a major right in the middle of your college experience? Just so you know, everybody else has been doing this for the last 2 years. It's going to be very difficult for you to be able to get experience because you haven't done any of this stuff in the past. Just that sort of stuff. And I said to her, I said, just give me 1 year. I'm going to say this as respectfully as possible. Give me 1 year and just see. And right after that meeting, I got a meeting with the head of the athletic department. I got a meeting with, you know, I got pulled in different directions. Multiple people had a lot of connections throughout the campus. And, you know, I just said to them plainly, I'm like, give me any sort of experience in the sports industry and I'm going to find a way to put my full effort in and find a way to really get something out of it, because I didn't know exactly where I wanted to go. You know, I knew that I was good at presenting. I knew that I was good at communicating and that I had a lot of knowledge about sports, but I didn't really know exactly which direction I wanted to go in. And then I really sort of looked around the opportunities that I had around, you know, my campus, around also my surrounding areas. And, you know, like I said, I'm in northern New Hampshire. The closest news station is in Manchester, New Hampshire, around 30 to 40 minutes down, like away from me. And really around my university, they only offered play by play, and only one person did that. And they already had a person, and or you could help on the event staff. And so what I did is I said, you know what? I'm going to make my own experience and I'm going to start my own podcast. I'm going to try and grow my own personal brand, because I look up to guys like Jared Carabas. You know, he's got this personal brand. When you hear his name, you know, people think about Jared Carabas. When you hear about Jeff Passan, when you hear about, you know, even like a guy like Dave Portnoy, like people know that name. And so I wanted to figure out a way to have that very similar, but within the sports industry. And I knew everybody else had tons of different experience, you know, at NESN, you know, ESPN, these internships that they had opportunities to. And so I needed to find a way to differentiate myself because there was so much competition within the industry. And so I started by starting my own podcast. It was a Red Sox podcast called Bo Sox Talk. And, you know, Iggy Sports Talk, it was mainly just like an Instagram account, Twitter account, that would really just put my opinions out there about different sports topics. So, you know, if something happened, I would start to do is I would write little articles in the captions. And it's funny looking back at my old posts because, you know, I would use Photoshop, and looking back at it, I cringe at it now because it looks awful. And now compared to like my stuff now where, you know, I use Canva, it's a little bit sleeker, and, you know, I figured out how to use subtitles. Like, I've gotten much better at video editing and that sort of stuff. But it's funny because even just looking back, I found articles from 2013 of something called Jake's Sports Corner. And it's so funny that, you know, it was pretty much just written in the stars that I was pretty much destined to do this. And I started doing, like I said, that Red Sox podcast. And I started doing that since, as I told you guys, I'm so passionate about the Red Sox. I had the opportunity to talk to Steve Peralt, former Red Sox prospect, Lars Anderson, as well as Darnell McDonald, and had some like Red Sox writers on there as well. But it got to a point where I wanted to talk about more than just the Red Sox. You know, I wanted to sort of be a different voice of sports. You know, I always watched ESPN and they would say everything so plain view, you know, they wouldn't really have any statistics around it, or they wouldn't look at, you know, these people's past, that they wouldn't take something from people's past and be like, oh, maybe this works for this. Cause like with baseball, I look at everything very technically, like what did they do a job before, two jobs before, and how can that help them in their current job? I always try and think about that sort of stuff and use it within my reporting because nobody really talks about it. And they do it so plain view. And it got to a point where I started, you know, sort of focusing more on guests, sort of like you guys have, learning about the stories of different people and really getting to the meat of why they do what they love and really what they live for. And that's something where I've really tried to use Iggy Sports Talk as a platform for talking about how people have overcome adversity. And sort of some of the stuff that you guys were talking about in the pre-show, I've really sort of noticed the lack of sort of, you know, opportunities for other minorities, and, you know, like you guys said, women. And if there was able to be more equality within athletics, I think it would be a much better place because, you know, you would have so many different opinions. You would have many people from different backgrounds, and especially another place that I really want to focus on, like going into the sports industry, is mental health as well. You know, there was just a E60 that was announced. I'm blanking on the guy's name. I think it's Derek Robinson. And it's something where with mental health, just in sports, it's crazy how little people know And especially with, like you guys brought up really in my pre-show, that I grew up in social media, and people don't really realize how much anxiety, how much stress social media gives you. I mean, just for example, Snapchat, I don't have notifications on my Snapchat. I'll check my Snapchat when I want to check my Snapchat, because it got to a point where I would send a Snapchat and then I would be looking for that note. Oh, why isn't that person responding to me yet? And if they didn't respond to me, or if they left me on scene, I'd be like, well, why'd they leave me on scene? And, you know, then I would get anxiety about that. And it's just those little things that you don't really have to worry about, but your mind worries about it because that's something that I grew up in. Yeah. And it's something where with Iggy Sports Talk, you know, I really wanted to figure out a way, like I said, to differentiate myself and just do something to grow my personal brand, essentially.
Well said.
Like,
man.
I love the drive. Yeah, like, you know, people are, you know, counting you out and you're like, I'll show you. But you know what? That's it. Like, you just have to believe in yourself. And then everything falls into 1,000%. Place. You know, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. You know, if you believe something, you go for it, and you're doing it, you're fighting the fight, and you know, you'll come out on top. That's just all you need to do. But you know, real quick on that social media thing, you know, obviously, have you watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix?
Yeah, I've seen that. Yep, that's scary.
Terrifying. It's terrifying because, you know, I have kids, so I have a 12-year-old daughter. So like, that's like right in the thick of all of that. So it really just terrifies me. And you hear these executives and these creators of all these major social media apps, and they won't even let their kids use it. That's how scary it is. And I could definitely attest to that whole, you know, anxiety, and it leads you down that dark spiral. I mean, it's just the way it is, and it's the, you know, it's the rise of endorphins, and then it crashes you right back down. Like, there's too much fluctuation. It's definitely not good for mental health, you know. And I try to, you know, at least keep everything on an even keel when it comes to like raising kids and, you know, things like that. But yeah, we did have somebody on.
That's,
you know,
why I want to be an advocate for it.
Yeah, we had.
That's
we had,
why I want to be such an advocate for it, because it's because of younger people.
Yeah, absolutely. We had Reggie Walker on a couple months ago, and he's he's big.
Reggie's the man.
You had him on. You spoke to him.
So Reggie. Conversation, just not even interview, the best conversation I've ever had. It was something where most of the time, like with an interview, you know, you get somebody on, you do for like, you know, maybe 3 to 5 minutes, just, hey, how's it going, like, really appreciate you coming, whatever, and then you just get right into the interview, because most of the time you put his time. But Reggie and I talked about the NFL for an hour, and I said to him after half an hour, I'm like, do we got to get this going? Most of the time, like, I get going, like, after like 5 minutes, I'm like, I don't want to waste any of your time. Like, I don't want, you know what I mean? Because most people are like, I only have like 30 minutes or whatever. Mm. And he goes, no, you know, I got all the time in the world, man. He's like, I'm having a good time just talking football with you. He's like, and then he would sprinkle in his experiences as well. I'm like, you got to bring that up when we start the interview. And he goes, yeah, we should probably start that interview soon. He's like, I completely forgot that we were talking for an hour. And then we got right into the interview, and obviously, I already had a great rapport with him. I was talking football with him for an hour, and you know, really incredible experience. And that's one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to have him on, because, you know, I said to him, I'm lucky. I can say that I'm lucky because I grew up sort of in the growing stages of social media. You know, when I was in middle school, I remember Facebook very well. Facebook started, and when I was a freshman in high school, I remember very well when Snapchat stories came out. And it's funny now, just even looking on TikTok. I mean, a lot of my friends, I mean, I have a TikTok for Iggy Sports Talk, and there's times where I'm sitting there for like 15 minutes and I feels like 2 seconds. And I'm like, wait, that was a little bit of time. And it's something where, as they showed in Social Dilemma, you know, people growing up with this, like actually growing up in the meat of like where social media really consumes your life, and you're comparing other people to really change your image for. It's very upsetting, and that's mm-hmm. one of the biggest reasons why I want to be sort of an advocate towards that younger crowd, because I get it. And now that I'm 22 and I'm not like 18 and a senior in high school, like as a senior in high school, I was like, what are you talking about? So she loved my phone. Like I can't get off my phone. Like it doesn't give me anxiety. And like now, like looking at it, like if my 22 self was telling itself that, I would be like, no, what are you talking about? And it's interesting how our minds change and like our mm-hmm. act is actually able to understand that sort of stuff. But it's something where I think parents, parents can't even be more accountable about it, because once they are, their kids are like, oh, why are you getting into my life? And really not a ton mm-hmm. that they can do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the truth.
No, that's a great, what I love about Iggy Sports, like I said, it's like a lot of people that we've interviewed. It's like, you're finding a new way to get into sports, you know, like the old way, you know, like Kevin was telling us how he applied for all these internships and he could never get in. I think he got maybe one or two or something like that. And now he started Wild Chat Sports right. and he's like interviewing Mayweather and he's working with like Gary Vee. Like he's doing all these things. And it's like, it's sort of like the exactly. world has changed and you guys, like young guys and like even what me and Mike are doing, like we're finding a new way to get into sports and talk about sports and spread the message of sports by doing it our way, not the old way where you mm-hmm. had to know somebody or you had to have experience or even yeah. had to play sports. Like you're starting Iggy Sports Talk. I mean, you're right. doing your own thing. So what are your thoughts around that on like the new way of talking about sports and doing your own thing and starting your own company?
I think it's really cool. I think it's really innovative. And yeah. especially with as awful as 2020 was, 2020 was.
Yeah.
What's funny is now that even though February is already here, sometimes yeah. when it's 2021, I still call it 2020. But with the yeah. coronavirus, it was an awful time for a lot of people, and it was cool how some people did find some light within it. You know, that's yeah. honestly when I had the most success in my podcast and when I was able to really work on my craft. And, you know, there's a lot of different experiences and opportunities that really came out of it as well. Mm-hmm. And, you guys also talked to, it's awesome that you guys also talked to Kevin as well. And Sam Rodriguez as well.
Sam. Sam.
I was on his podcast last week, and it's really cool how people are really just trying to grow these things from the ground up, and doing collabs like this as well, and just helping each other out. I think it's really amazing. And for myself, it's been really cool to connect with those other people and learn mm-hmm. from them as well. And when I met Kevin, obviously seeing all the people that he got to talk to, I sort of looked up to him because I remember him and I connected and he told me, he started just 6 months before me. And so like he would sort of give me advice from like stuff that he learned and that sort of stuff. And it's really amazing because really just looking back on myself a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I brought up a guy, Darnell McDonald, and he was a former Red Sox player. There was a week or so ago where he called me at like 10 PM at night because I've been helping him with some podcasting stuff. And he just called me, and I just picked up the phone. I'm like, "How's it going, Darnell?" And my mom came in after the call. She's like, "Who's calling you?" And I'm like, "Oh, it was Darnell." She's like, "Isn't that the former MLB player?" And I'm like, "Did I ever think that this was going to happen?" Nope. But it's amazing that that's a reality now. And where it really actually sunk in is when I had the opportunity to interview Marty Daniels from Blue Mountain State, because when I was having that conversation with him, I really had sort of like a deja vu moment of me sitting in my freshman room dorm room watching Blue Mountain State, having no clue of what I wanted to do or what the next like 3 to 4 years really looked like. And really just fast forwarding back to like that, I was talking to him. It was honestly a surreal moment.
No, and it's right. You mentioned that. Like, I feel like with our show and like Kevin's and yours and Sam's and all and everybody we've been here, I feel like we're like in a big community. Everybody's trying to help each other. And like, I just feel the positivity and like we're all trying to sort of break into this like into this environment of sports and sort of change it in a way that we can all succeed in it and all do well. So as far as Iggy Sports goes, where is it going this year? Like, what do we have to look forward to this year? What are the some things that are coming up? Like, what for our viewers who want to sort of tune into what you got going on, what do we have to look forward to?
So Iggy Sports Talk, there's going to be weekly episodes, and I'm going to be in my room in my house at college, and also at the radio station as well. But quite honestly, my goal this year is to interview 30 athletes, and it's going to happen.
Yes.
And so, because that's one of the biggest reasons why I got into all this is to get closer to the people that play the game that I love, and to be able to hear more experiences, like we talked about with Reggie as well. But with Iggy Sports Talk, I'm just going to continue trying to grind out content as much as possible. I've started more on Facebook, started more on TikTok, really been trying to be a little bit more interactive and trying to put out content where, you know, it's asking a question and gets in, sort of interactive responses within the comments. So then there can be sort of a sports debate within the comments. But mainly right now, looking forward to May, 2021. That's when I graduate and get my college diploma. And, my goal after college is I'm hoping to get some sort of job within sports social media, sort of do some of the similar stuff that I do for Iggy Sports Talk, and then work my way up to being able to sit in front of a microphone every single day and wake up doing the job that I love.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah.
Good luck. We wish you all the best, man. I think you're going to do well.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you have the mindset that you need. So, yeah. You know, that's all you need. And, it may take a month, may take a couple of months to get that, you know, that key job that you want to get to, but it'll get there. And you said, you know, sports social media, you know, there's a book coming out in a couple of months that one of our former guests, yes. Aaron Eisman, is working on, and he's going to be coming on again in a couple of months to talk about the book a little bit more. But yeah, it's pretty much, you know, the golden era of sports social media. So, you know, he's worked for Bleacher Report, he's worked for NFL, he's worked for Turner Sports, you know, so he's been around the block and then some in the sports social media game. Right. And he's also interviewing a lot of other people that were in this, you know, high up in the sports social media. And we're looking forward to reading that book for sure.
I can't wait to read it.
It's very, yeah. So it should be out shortly, and definitely keep you posted on that for sure. But yeah, I mean, you just gotta keep grinding.
Like we said, we were talking a few months ago, sort of when we set this interview up. Mm-hmm. Everything happens for a reason. And one of the things, and just for your listeners, that has really helped me through the anxiety of going through graduation and sort of the unknown of the coronavirus, is I've really been trying to go at the mindset of it's already happened. Time just hasn't caught up yet. And so, like I said to you guys, I will interview 30 athletes. It's already happened. Time just hasn't caught up yet. And so with that sort of mindset, instilling that within my mind, it's not like, oh, I hope it happens. Maybe it'll happen. It's going to happen. And so just everything happens for a reason, just having that sort of mindset and just going through the actions every single day and, you know, just trying to enjoy this beautiful life.
No, absolutely. It really is all about mindset. You know, no matter what kind of like idiom you want to go with, you know, they're all universal. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go with the law of attraction, the secret, the fake it till you make it, or, you know, some. Yeah. You know, anything along those lines, but really, if you believe it, if you think you can, or if you think you can't, either way, you're right. That's, you know, that was Henry Ford. And, you know, that definitely resonates because it's really all about mindset. So you just have to, keep that positive mentality going, and you're going to get there. Like, obviously, you know, I just on top of the podcast, you know, that we're building Playing the Field. You know, so it's, you know, Playing the Field will be, you know, one of the premier apps in the dating market. You know, I mean, I know it's going to happen. It's just time hasn't caught up yet. I like the way that you word it. But yeah, absolutely. And, definitely looking forward to seeing a lot of great things from you in the future. And, we definitely love to, you know, appreciate come on that. Iggy Sports Talk.
Yeah. And if you're, whenever you can have us on.
Absolutely.
And we want to see you at the Super Bowl next year too. We want to see, we're going to all hang out, grab, you know, grab a couple of beers out in sunny Los Angeles. And then, you know, hopefully we can come up to, you know, your neck of the woods, maybe catch a Red Sox game. I'd say Patriots, but I don't even want to step foot in Gillette Stadium. I'm not going to lie. But Fenway, I am down 100%. But you know, it was absolutely a pleasure to have you on today, Jake, and you know, best of luck moving forward for sure.
Appreciate that, Mike and Rich.
Yeah, Jake, man, great job. Keep up the good work. We look forward to coming on your show. And anytime you want to come on, man, you got a home here. So feel free.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody. That was Jake Iggy from – you could follow him at I Am Jake Iggy and at Iggy Sports Talk on Instagram and on Twitter. So go and check out his Sports Talk show weekly. And he's going to have 30 athletes on this year. Okay? Just time hasn't caught
up yet.
It's
going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It has happened.
You got it.
It has happened, right?
Exactly.
So, all right. So, thanks again, Jake. And we'll be chatting a lot more soon.
All right, perfect. Have a good night, guys.
Good night, Jake. Man, it's a great story. And that's what I love about these kids, man. These guys are, like, innovative. They're coming up with their own things. You know, like you, Mike, they're being creative. They have these ideas, like, you know, like these to break into sports with these internships and these jobs these kids got to do and all. Like, they're like, you know what? There's a different way to do this. There's a different way to reach out to athletes, communicate with athletes.
Yeah.
And they're just going for it. And I love it, man. And I love the energy and I love the desire. And the fact that kid's like, yo, I'm going to get 30 athletes. I mean, I like the confidence, man. Good for him.
That's what it's all about. But you know what? Yeah. Let's think about it. Like when we started this thing, you know, and we were scrounging to find guests in the beginning, right?
Yeah, our friends who would have who bailed on us.
Yeah, well, which we chalked up as technical difficulties. Spoiler alert: it wasn't technical difficulties.
Yeah, it wasn't technical difficulties. But go ahead.
He was technically being difficult. but I mean. You know, some of the people that have, you know, come on the show, we didn't ever think in a million years we would have them. Just the relationships we've been forming with, like, all these different, you know, players, and, you know, in the sports industry has been great. It's been, you know, humbling for sure. And, you know, but it's just a testament to us just being consistent, being, you know, putting ourselves out there. And, you know, we're going to get to the Super Bowl. It's already happened.
We'll be there.
Time hasn't caught up yet. So, yeah, exactly. Well, all right. We're not going to play in the Super Bowl.
No, but we'll be there. Palm trees.
Time has caught up on that one.
Yeah. Palm trees, margaritas. We're going to have a good time down there in California.
Margaritas? Nah.
Nah. Beers. Nah. I mean, we're drinking it all, man.
Yeah.
I'm a good time.
Guy,
I will not be. I will be wearing shorts and a t-shirt all week. That's it.
Well, I mean, you heard it. You know, I mentioned it during the interview, but this podcast is brought to you by Playing the Field. Playing the Field is a online community and dating app for sports fans. The mobile apps are currently in development and will be out shortly. So please follow us on social or check us out at playingthefield.io for more information regarding the upcoming mobile launches. But we definitely want you to, you know, sign up for the waiting list, and we'll get it out there shortly and tell us what you want to see. You know, obviously it's going to be a sports fan app. So we want to hear from you, the sports fans. You know, right now we have something out there on social, you know, the Asking for a Friend series. So we want to hear, you know, what do you want at, included in the app? How do you want to communicate with your matches? You know, what kind of features do you want implemented into the app? You know, help us build this with what you want to see. You know, we want you a part of it all. We want you to be part of that team. you know, the fans matter, you know, fan, if it was not for the fans, there's no, you know, professional sports teams, you know?
Exactly.
So you guys all matter. And we want to make sure that everyone can all get together in a faster, quicker, and easier way than ever before. So playingthefield.io, and you could find us on all social media at play the field now. Yeah. So,
I just want to give a quick shout out to our interns who do a tremendous job. Yes. Tanner, and I haven't had a chance to meet him. That's on me just because my work schedule, but I do want to meet him. But if they're watching Tanner and the rest of the team, are doing a tremendous job. So kudos to them. They do real great work.
Yep. Tanner, Logan, Emily, Kim, and Clarissa. So thank you guys very much for all that you are doing, and we love having you on the team for sure.
Yes.
Okay. So what are we? The Stafford trade.
So
right?
Let's get to the Stafford trade. So it breaks on, what was it, Saturday? I think it broke that the LA Rams decided to trade Jared Goff, their first round pick.
In 2022,
I think. What was? Hold on, let me just.
I got it here.
You got it there. Okay. Oh, yeah.
2021 third round, 2022 and 2023 first round, and Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, you know, it's this. That's a big haul for Jared Goff, and that's a big trade to get Matthew Stafford. Here's the thing, as a Jet fan. When I see that, I can only imagine what the Houston Texans are going to ask of Deshaun Watson. And if I'm Joe Douglas, whoops, sorry, I was trying to read something here. But if I'm Joe Douglas in the Jet hierarchy, I really think it through if I'm going to trade for Deshaun Watson. I know he's top five player in the league. I know he changes your locker room when he walks in. I know he's an ultimate talent. But you have to build this whole team, and you have to look at it holistically. We need an edge rusher. We need a corner. We need a couple of playmakers. Like, we need a lot on the team. And I don't know that giving up, you know, 2 years worth of a draft for one player makes a whole lot of sense. So if I'm the Jets, and this is me, I'm obviously not in the hierarchy or whatever, but if I'm the Jets, and I could be wrong, I would pass on Deshaun Watson. I would either stick it out another year with Darnold, or if you're going to go quarterback, draft one of these kids, you know, either Justin Fields or Trey Lance or who's the other kid from
Zach Wilson.
You know, I'd go that route. You know, I just think, you know, and mind you, everybody's saying, well, he's going to go to, you know, the Dolphins, which I keep thinking they're tailor-made for him, and that's where he really wants to go. But I don't know that if I'm the Jets, I don't know that I'm ready to give up all that to get Deshaun Watson. Because then when he gets here, he has nothing around him, and you still need to build a team around him. My 2 cents on that.
If you can get Watson, you just get Watson. I mean, let's just be real. Because, I mean, he doesn't want to go to the Patriots. So there's something to look forward to. But I don't want to see him going into the Dolphins. I just don't. If I want to see him going anywhere, it's to the NFC.
Yeah. And you know, getting back on this trade also, I mean, if you're Jared Goff, man, you got to be thinking like, look, I led this team to the Super Bowl. I've won playoff games and they just dumped me after five seasons. I won a game with a broken thumb. I was playing with four fingers and I won a game. I mean, what does he have to do? And I guess over there, they felt that, listen, he's holding us back. He's not the guy, but it's not like Matthew Stafford has like, you know, elevated the Lions to some standard. So I don't know, you know, obviously, I'm not an expert. Maybe I'm seeing this wrong, but I guess they feel that Stafford's going to take him to the next level. He's going to have talent over there. Obviously, he's got a great defense. But I feel Jared Goff got the short end. You know, I think he got the short end of the stick here, man. I mean, the guy and it sucks, right? Yeah. You sign the new contract. You're living in LA. You're living the dream, and now you're going to a cold city where it's freezing in Detroit. You know, it's not no palm trees. I mean, it's a different environment. Mm-hmm. But I think this is good. I think maybe. You know, he might, you know, if he leads that team to a playoff berth, then, you know, they've got something there. But, I'm not sold on this Stafford thing, man. We'll wait and see. I think it's a wait and see thing with him. It's not guaranteed that he's going to take him to a Super Bowl. But listen, the Rams think that they got something with him.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that bothers me is like Jared Goff brought them to a Super Bowl. Granted, he played like dog shit when he got there.
Yeah.
But he got there. Okay. Yeah. and they're trading, you know, somebody that was an NFC champion and right. three draft picks for somebody right. that does Stafford even have a playoff win? Maybe one.
I don't think he's only been to the playoffs once. I think they only went 1 year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they only went 1 year, but yeah. did he win?
I don't think
did
so.
He win
I don't
one know game, won. Maybe. But
I don't.
But regardless, we know that Jared Goff made it to the Super Bowl,
right?
And Stafford did not, and they traded Jared Goff and three draft picks.
Yeah,
like Jared Goff for Stafford. Okay, you know, you just want to make a change right. and whatever. But you're leveraging your future for a guy that's often injured. Let's just
exactly. He's always getting hurt.
It is. And. You know, Stafford has weapons in Detroit. I mean, granted, he doesn't have a defense, and he's going to have a defense now with the Rams.
Yeah, and that's like a top five like, defense. Yeah.
But three draft picks, you know, and
for a guy who's 32.
And that right there, that sucks for this Watson situation, because it's like if Stafford could get that shit,
yeah.
You know what can Watson get? But you know, dude, you know, we'll see how that Watson situation plays out.
Yeah, and that's
there's
the
a
thing,
lot of like, you know, there's a lot of QB carousels going on. So
yeah,
it's gonna be an interesting offseason.
I was just reading that the Raiders might be interested in trading Derek Carr for that. I mean, he's a name that's come up. I mean, look,
any team other than the Chiefs should be calling about Deshaun Watson.
I get it, but the question is, are you mortgaging? Like you said about the Rams, are you going to mortgage the future?
Call. You I, have look, to call.
I'm not saying you don't call, that's but all. I don't. But look, the Jets have, and we're just talking about the Jets, and even the Dolphins, they have all these draft picks. Like the Dolphins, I think at this point where they are right now, they can mortgage some of those picks. Their defense is stout. They got a great coach. Mm-hmm. They got offensive weapons, right? So they can mortgage that. But if you're the Jets, you're not even there, man. You're not even on the level of a Miami Dolphin. So I don't know that you can afford to give up all those picks. So, you know, it's tough, man. It's not like they're trading for Pat Mahomes. I mean, you know, Deshaun Watson's great.
That's just never going to happen.
Yeah. Right. He's great. But, do you mortgage the house? And then what? Then what does he walk into? Nothing? I mean, I don't know. And it could be also that Deshaun Watson's using the Jets as leverage to get to Miami, you know.
It could be, but you know what? He can end up in a myriad of places. So we just don't know. I mean, he could end up. I doubt he's going to end up with, you know, a team like the Colts or the Jaguars.
No, he's not. That's Trevor Lawrence over there with the Jags. That's not.
Yeah, you're telling me that you wouldn't take Watson over Lawrence?
Oh yeah, in a heartbeat. Yeah.
But it's never going to be
it's not going to be the case. They're not trading that number.
That's never going to be
the Urban Meyer trade. Took that job because Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one pick. But we'll see. But that trade was a blockbuster, man, and it set the market for what you're going to have to draft. I mean, what you're going to have to give up for
incredibly high.
Yeah, I mean, crazy high. It's just nuts.
Let's talk about the other Matt. Where do you think he ends up?
Matt Ryan. I don't know.
Would you take him?
I don't know. Indianapolis would be a place for him.
Would you take him?
No, for the Jets, no. I'm not taking him. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I'd rather have
him. We need game breakers. We need culture changers. We need.
However, Matt Ryan does like throwing an Alabama wide receiver, so let's get Devonta Smith and Matt Ryan. Oh, I'm okay with that.
Listen, if we can
figure that out.
Yeah, I'll say it again. And I agree with what Quinton Williams said. If I'm the Jets at number two, you take Devontae Smith. And if you're going to make a trade, you trade for Odell Beckham Jr. You find a couple of picks. The Jets have plenty of picks. You know, if you can give up a third rounder for him to get him to New York, you get him on that team. He's a little more mature now. He wants to win. I think he understands New York better. I mean, you put him, Devonta Smith, Jamison Crowder, you got Denzel Mims there. I mean, and you give that to Darnold and build that offensive line, get Cameron Clark at left guard. You have Fant there. You can bolster that offensive line, and you can draft some weapons on the defense. Hey, man, now you got a shot. Now you see if Darnold is really what he was proclaimed to be when he came out of USC. That's what I would do if it were me.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a very interesting off season. We will not go in depth into Super Bowl previews today. We're gonna save that for Thursday.
Right.
However, there is news and notes. There are
a
couple of COVID positive Chiefs.
Yep.
They wanted to go get their hair cut.
Yeah,
get folks. A nice little fresh cut, you know, to get ready for Super Bowl press week and whatnot. And I said it weeks ago, months ago, they should have been in a bubble. The second that confetti stopped dropping, they should have been bubbling it up and isolating. But, you know, it's definitely it's not Hill. It's not Kelsey. It's not Mahomes. It's not Matthew. And, you know, it was Denard Robinson and something Kilgore. I think it's like a tackle or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, their barber had COVID, passed it on to them. So it was a buy one, get one for their haircuts there.
Absolutely. You know, listen, it was just bound to happen.
I mean, this is the times that we're living
in. Yeah. You know, so let's just hope that these are the only two cases and then nothing else happens to anybody else. And we have a great game and a great Super Bowl. But yeah, we won't get into it tonight. We'll do that Thursday night. We'll make our predictions before Super Bowl Sunday. But, you know, we spoke about it in our interview with Iggy over there that how great would that be, right? If they go into the half, let's say like tied or whatever, or, you know, let's say the Chiefs are up or down or whatever. And Scotty Miller after the weekend or before the weekend goes on, Scotty Miller and Tyreek Hill run a 40 to see who's fast. That'd be great. Oh, that'd be awesome. Man. Who would want to see that? Like, I mean, honestly, everybody would just stop and watch that. I mean, forget the show. Everybody would stop and watch that.
I mean, you know, probably won't watch it for that long. Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill
runs the field. I mean, incredible. Would it be a 40-yard or it'd be the whole
length? No, I'd probably run a 40. I'm sure they run a 40. Somebody will time it, run a 40. It'd be great. Quickly, Major League Baseball. So they are going to play a season. They're going to play, I think, is it 162? So the spring training is going to start on time.
Rejected on the 154 proposal and the universal DH, as was expected.
So your National League strategy is still there.
Still alive and kicking for at least one more year.
Yeah.
So let's keep rejecting those proposals.
All right. Well, listen, this was a great show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Tune in Thursday night for the Fan Experience TV. We will have another great guest.
54.
Can you believe that, man? We've done 54 of these bad boys.
Wow. So it's going to be 54 and then a couple days later.
And then Super Bowl
technically, 55. If we have an episode on Super Bowl Sunday, we can make that 55.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's a little tempting
there. Yeah, that is tempting. So for all our fans and viewers out there, we're considering a Super Bowl 55 show.
We might be snowed in. I mean, we'll...
Yeah, I mean,
we might not have a choice.
Yeah, it might be another nor'easter out there, something to consider. We'll see.
Tell us if you want us to come on for a halftime show.
Yeah,
if you guys want, we'll put it in your court.
Yeah, if you guys want us to come on... I mean, look, obviously we all have plans, you know, people are going to different things or whatever. So if you guys want us to come on before, I don't know about a halftime show, but if you guys want us to come on before kickoff and give you guys like 30 minutes of what we think of the game and all that, we'll do that.
We can do a commercial breakdown show.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. You know what eventually we got to do? We got to do like a live show of a sporting event, like a UFC or like a live watch or like, you know, something. Like we got to do something.
Yeah, like a watch party.
Like a watch party or something. Yeah. Well, listen, as things go along, we'll think about it.
Yeah, we'll do it at the arenas themselves.
Yes.
As we're allowed to re-enter those arenas.
Society, yes.
Have a good night, everybody. We will see you Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Have a good one.
Peace. Good night, everybody.
Do you want to meet other sports enthusiasts like yourself? Playing the Field can help you connect with people who love sports as much as you do, for friendship or romance. You can showcase up to 5 of your favorite teams on your profile trading card to make it easier to find fellow sports fans. Now you can talk about sports, go to the games, or play sports with others who share your interests.
Find out more at playthefieldnow.com.